Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Today we kick off our new season. We've really been kind of going already for a couple of weeks with some of our things. With our Christian education emphasis here at Good Shepherd, we have our new Sunday school teachers and classes and things going today. We've been going with our midweek instruction for a couple of weeks now. School's been going for over 3 weeks now. So we pray God's blessings on our time together, and we ask that God would bless us as a congregation as we teach Christ crucified and risen for the life of the world. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, in keeping with that Christian education theme, Shepherd of Tender Youth. Following that hymn, we'll pray Matins, page 219 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And the emphasis for today will be on the epistle reading from Ephesians chapter 3. Toward the end of our service, we'll take a few moments and properly install our teachers, Sunday school teachers, education board members and volunteers. And once again, we pray God's blessings on our teaching and preaching and encouragement of God's Word to people of all ages, but especially with our young. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings You shower down upon us, for the life that You give us, bringing us from death to life by the power of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, as You have given us this new life, teach us to appreciate each and every moment of that life. Help us to be good stewards of the time that You have given us, and to be good stewards of the responsibility that You have given us. As parents, grandparents, teachers, fellow members of the body of Christ, in encouraging one another with God's Word, and especially in passing on that Word generation after generation. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, the Word made flesh, the Word for us today, tomorrow, and always. Amen. Amen. Hymn 864.
With the order of Matins, page 219. Please stand. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship you. O God, sing to the Lord. Let us make the
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We sing the intro it.
Oh,
office hymn is One Thing is Needful, page 536. Please be seated.
Thank you.
severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. And the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is true. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole country of Judea and all the surrounding country. O Lord, have mercy on us. We speak the gradual. Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord knows the sign, he appears in his glory. Three. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God
and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Grace and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Text for our meditation this morning, the epistle reading that we heard just a moment ago from Ephesians chapter 3. So I ask you not to lose heart. We pray that you would be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, being rooted and grounded in love. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is one of those days where the readings just don't seem to fit. The Old Testament reading, a marvelous Old Testament miracle. Elijah, the woman, the son, the widow of Zarephath. We heard the first part of the story last Sunday or 2 weeks ago in church, where God provided through this widow a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. It's a miracle. It didn't run out. And now the widow's son is dead. And so what does God do with dead things? He brings them to life. God, through Elijah, raises the son from the dead and gives him back to his mother. Our gospel reading from Luke chapter 7. Jesus is in an obscure town called Nain. And it's funeral time. The whole city is mourning. This widow of Nain has lost her sole support. Her son is dead. Jesus stops the funeral procession and turns it into a victory parade. Jesus brings the dead child back to life. From death to life. And what does He do then? He takes the child, now alive, and gives this child back to his mother. Then we have this epistle reading from Ephesians 3 that doesn't talk anything about resurrection, doesn't talk anything about from death to life, doesn't talk... Maybe it does. Maybe it fits better than any of us want to realize. Jesus and Elijah take this dead child and make it alive by the power of God's Word and give this child back to mom. Ephesians 3 picks up where this miracle leaves off. Is there a better picture of these resurrections? Is there a better picture of what happens to each one of us in the waters of holy baptism? God takes us from death to life by the power of His Word. By the power of His Word, He brings us from sin, death and the devil through the waters of holy baptism, delivering Good Friday and Easter, taking us from death to life. He makes us alive in Christ Jesus and then gives us back. Gives us back to mom and dad. Gives us back to the church. Gives us back to the family. Whether that is our close-knit family or the family of God, because every family derives from God the Father. So, we have been made alive and given back to our family, to our mother. We, who are parents or grandparents, have seen the miracle of our children Our children who were dead, lost in the trespasses of their sin, being made alive and given back to us as a gift. So now what? Now what? Now what do we do with this gift? From death to life. And now with this new life, this precious life, how do we care for it? How do we nurture it? How do we sustain it? Right off the bat, God, through the Apostle Paul, says, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. How easy it is to lose heart when we look at the deplorable situation in our world. Everything that seems to be evil is being promoted and lifted up. Everything that seems to be good and virtuous is mocked and ridiculed. This is the world that we, our children, our grandchildren, a generation yet to be born, this is the generation that we live in. How easy it is to lose heart. Today, very, very somber anniversary in our nation. 9/11. It used to be that 9/11 was a good thing. Teach your children 9/11 when there's danger. Now when we hear 9/11, 9/11, we are reminded that evil is real and the forces of evil are hell-bent on destroying what is good. This is the world we live in. How easy it is to lose heart, to become pessimistic, sarcastic, apathetic. God says, don't fall for this trick of Satan. Don't do it. Do not lose heart. Why should we believe these words of Paul? Do you realize where Paul is when he pens these words? He's in prison. He has been imprisoned for the fact that he is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friends, as bad as it is, and as much persecution as we have endured and see in our country, none of us has gone to prison for our faith. None of us. Paul's in jail with no hope of getting out. And he says, don't lose heart. My friends, that message is for you and for me today and tomorrow. Don't lose heart. Why? Because God is in complete control. Even though it may not seem like it, even though it may not feel like it, God is in complete control. And He is in complete control as He has proved that He is the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier that He has promised to be. He is in complete control. He knows everything that goes on. And He has given us His Word to sustain us in good times and in bad times. It's really as simple as the children's song. We are weak, but He is strong. That simple truth is what we need to cling to. That simple truth is what we need to pass on to our children and grandchildren, to generations yet unborn. Suffering is real. My friends, I'm going to tell you right now, to cling to Jesus Christ in faith, true faith, means that suffering will come. Oh, probably not. Being thrown into jail, although that's always a possibility. But if you are an active Christian, there is a good chance that you will have less friends than those who are friends with the world. Good chance. And for that, you will suffer. If you are an active Christian, there is a good chance you might not get promoted at work or be elected to that special position on the cheerleading squad or captain of the football team. You will suffer. You will. If you send your kids to a parochial school or a Christian preschool like we have here at Good Shepherd, or even to Sunday school, you will be persecuted. You will suffer. Why? Well, think of all the other things the kids could be doing on Sunday morning. Not even going to touch Wednesday night. You will suffer. Your golf game will suffer if you come to church on Sunday. It will. You won't catch as many fish or shoot as many ducks. You will suffer. If you support the work of the church with your time and your talents and your dollars, you will suffer. You won't be able to buy all the fancy things. You won't have time for all the extra things because you'll be giving back a portion of that to the Lord. Suffering is real for all those who bear the cross. My friends, who is the one who bore the cross for us? Our paltry sufferings? Things that we call sufferings? They are nothing compared to the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who took our sin, our mixed up priorities, our false idols, our lackadaisical Christianity, our apathy and our sarcasm. He took it all. He took it all into Himself and onto Himself, bleeding and dying, suffering, the suffering we deserve. Jesus died, taking our punishment, and then proving that He really is God in the flesh for us, 3 days later rose from the dead, never to die again. He did this for you. He did this for me. He did this for your children, your grandchildren, and a generation yet unborn. My friends, this suffering brings us from death to life. How often do we give thanks for the life that God has given us? How often do we give thanks as we look at our children or grandchildren or the little kids running around in the hall and give thanks to the God for delivering them from death to life? Or are we so caught up in our own little world that we don't even notice? My friends, God, through Paul, right here tells us we need to get down on our knees. We need to get down on our knees in prayer. We need to pray for forgiveness, repentance, for the way that we have treated this gift of life for ourselves and for the life of the world. To repent of our sin, and to ask God to strengthen us. To strengthen us, to give us the power and the strength. We are weak. We are full of imperfections. We know that. We get down on our knees and pray that God would give us the strength and the power to make the right decisions. The strength and the power to really embrace the Word of God in faith. Not a hollow faith, not a lip service faith, but a faith that believes the Word of God, and that faith overflows in love toward our brothers and sisters, our children and our grandchildren, a love that knows no bounds, a love that overcomes all fear. That's right. God's Word says that perfect love overcomes and drives away all fear. We know perfect love, and that's what God tells us to pray for in our reading for today. Perfect love is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ for you. God's Word teaches that we should pray that we would be rooted and grounded in love. Verse 17. Well, what are you rooted and grounded in? Are you rooted and grounded in that love which is Jesus Christ for you? Are you rooted and grounded in God's Word? I know what oftentimes I'm rooted and grounded in. I'll bet many of you here know how many interceptions the vaunted Nebraska Cornhuskers had yesterday afternoon. I'm rooted and grounded in those statistics. I can tell you Mike Riley's record in his entire lifetime against the Oregon Ducks, 4-10. Next Sunday it'll be 5-10. See how easy it is for us to be rooted and grounded in everything and anything? And yet the Word of God so often is just an afterthought. My friends, throughout the years, the 500 years of the Lutheran Church, God has blessed us with a gift, a tool, so that we would be rooted and grounded in love, and a tool so that we can pass on that love, that truth, to our children, our grandchildren, and generations yet to come. It's called Luther's Small Catechism. Yes. For many of us, that was something we put away back in eighth grade. We need to repent of that. We need to dust off our books. We need to make a recommitment to learning and believing and living the very basic and simple truths of God. The Ten Commandments, which show us our sin. The Apostles' Creed, which teach us who the one true God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And most importantly, our Savior Jesus, and how the Holy Spirit calls us to faith. To teach us the response of a Christian is a life of prayer in God's gift of the Lord's Prayer for us. To appreciate how God continues to come to us in the waters of holy baptism, and when we return there daily through repentance and absolution. The great gift of how God speaks to us His love in the forgiveness of sins, and His holy meal, His ongoing presence for us. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. My friends, rooted and grounded in this simple truth, this basic truth, this love of God for you, will give you the strength and the power that you need as these difficult days surround us and as these sufferings are sure to come. They will bolster us in the faith, so that as the winds of change and the winds of false doctrine come, we are able to stand up, not on our own, but being bolstered by the Word of God, Christ Jesus for us. We had a funeral this last week here at Good Shepherd. Dear member of our congregation, Betty Carter. It's hard to say goodbye, even though we thank God that He delivered her from death to life everlasting with Him. Many times when we think about death, many times at a funeral, and many times in her home or at her bedside, I had the opportunity to sing a few verses of various hymns to strengthen, encourage, comfort, bring a smile. My singing sometimes does that. The last verse of Abide With Me is a verse and a hymn that many of us cling to during difficult times and especially at the time of death. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Point through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, abide with me. You know, we oftentimes sing that hymn and we act like it's a big question. Is God going to abide with me or not? How foolish we are. God says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The question is, will we abide with Him? We oftentimes think of that hymn only when we die. Yes, when I die, then I will be with the Lord forever and ever. How foolish we are. Did you hear those words? In life, in death, abide with me. Heaven's morning breaks, not only on the last day when Jesus comes again in all power and might and glory. Heaven's morning breaks each and every day of our life. Each and every day as the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ fills us up and gives us one more day. One more day to live. One more day to love. One more day to share that love of Christ with our children, our neighbor, our brothers and sisters in Christ. My friends, Jesus, by the power of His Word, has taken you from death to life. He's given you back. He's given you back to your mom, to your brother and sister, to the church, to your family, to your spouse. My friends, you once were dead, but now you are alive in Christ Jesus. And so what does God want you to do? Live. Live in Him. Faith toward God. Love toward one another. Live the full life that Christ has given you. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the Word of God, we are bold to confess our faith. This morning we confess our faith using the words of the Te Deum, page 223 and following. Please stand as we sing.
Please be seated.
Again, welcome. Welcome the name of Jesus for you. Life to death. Womb to tomb. Today and always. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship with us. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of the full life that God has given us in Christ Jesus would be yours and your families as well. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
In addition to the prayers as listed in your news and notes, we also remember Jeff Ficken, whose father passed away this past week. We begin with the Kyrie, page 227. Please stand. In heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory, forever and ever.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
O Lord, we pray that your grace may always go before and follow after us, that we may continually be given to all good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, provide for the education of your children in this place. Grant a special measure of your blessings to our Sunday school, to our preschool, and to our day school. Bless those who teach and those who learn in this place, that your name would be proclaimed and your children taught your word. We give you thanks for raising up so many to serve your children here at Good Shepherd, and give to them the strength and wisdom to perform the tasks entrusted to them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, grant loving hearts to your children as they seek to serve all those in need. Give your protection to all those who flee from persecution and violence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father of the nations, grant wisdom to those you have placed in authority over us, especially President Obama, Governor Ricketts, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Watch over those who serve in our armed forces and emergency services, that they may serve with honor and return home safely. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, grant patience and healing to the sick, the suffering, those near death, and all those in any need, especially Jerry, Frederick, Kelly, Lynn, Celeste, Diane, Chip, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Jan, Callie, Clee, Jim, Sonia, Julie, Sharon, Dwayne, Haley, Jason, Ann, Bonnie, Susie, Vernita, Kaylee, and Char. Grant us grace to bear all our afflictions in the knowledge that you use all things for the good of those who love you. Lord, in your mercy, Holy Father, console those who mourn the death of loved ones, especially the family of Betty Carter, laid to rest on Friday, and the family of Jeff Ficken, whose father was taken to his heavenly home this past week. Bless them with the knowledge that Christ has destroyed death by his own dying, so that death is now a holy rest for the faithful, and that, through his resurrection, he will raise us to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Congregation may be seated. At this time, we invite forward all Sunday school teachers, all school teachers, all preschool teachers, all aides and volunteers in the school, and all school board members.
We have an insert in the news and notes, and while this may not be comprehensive, come on down. Good Shepherd Lutheran School and Preschool, Linda Ahrens, Joy Barefoot, Sue Hansen, Kim Boss, Sheila Turek,
Laura Lee Novak, Robin Phillips, Nick Sandman, Doreen Krausman, Bethany Morundi, Char Large, School Board, Nancy Stepp, Jenny Higgins, Joel Caldwell, Sarah Hoyle, Mark Simnick, Matt Phillips, Parish Education, Mark Simnett, Jenny Rader, Autumn Berg, Arnett Garris, Shirley Green, Kristen Wegner, Jessica Thuin, Heidi Bokelman, Jerrica Perrin, Aaron Wagner, Marilyn Meyer. You can hear and see that it takes many, many, many people to be able to teach people of all ages, but especially our young in our school, in our preschool, in our midweek classes, and in our Sunday school. The pastors can only be at one place at one time. We need lots of help, lots of assistance. And thanks be to God that He has raised up and continues to raise up people of God from this place to pass on the truth of God to our children. We are thankful for them and also ask that God would continue to bless this congregation and raise up even more so that the responsibility is not shouldered just by a few, but by more and more in this place, and also share in that joy. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are to be installed as teachers, board members, Sunday school teachers, volunteers, and other staff at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in the education of our congregation, a work in which our Father in heaven has great joy.
Hear the word of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise.
Beloved in the Lord, you are to assist us, the ministers of the word in this place, in the instruction of God's people according to His holy word. You are to prepare yourselves for this work by your individual and corporate study of the Word of God and from the faith drawn from it as has been delivered to us in the small catechism. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to Him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the position entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to His word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that He may be glorified and His work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do.
We do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I now install you as teachers, Sunday school teachers, assistants, board members, volunteers in the educational ministry here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your service, that you may be good and faithful leaders and teachers to the glory of His name and the salvation of His people.
Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, grant to these your people the gifts of wisdom and discretion, kindness and faithfulness, so that they may effectively teach and guide, and grant to all your people a ready willingness to learn. Let the knowledge of your word be preserved and extended among us, so that all may know and praise you, now and forever. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Go in the name of the Lord.
Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Turn and face the congregation. Let's thank God for these services. We'll sing our closing hymn, Christ Be My Leader. We sing. And welcome in the name of Jesus. Okay, Sunday mornings, we are going to do our best to have our Sunday school openings here in the sanctuary at 9:20. You know that we're not always really good about time here in this congregation. So, we're publicly stating before God and these people, we are making this a new high top priority. So, kids, go get some goodies back in here at 9:20. All right? Now, Sunday school openings in the past have been kind of like, well, you know, that's for the little kids. That's not for the big kids. Enough of that nonsense. Unless you're confirmed, come here for Sunday school openings. All of you, big and small, wide and tall. I don't know. What else there? Okay? 9:20. Now, lest the rest of you think that this is only for the little children among us, you are all invited and encouraged to tear yourself away from the donut and coffee for 5 minutes and come in here and join us and support and encourage us for these Sunday school openings as well. All right? So, 9:20 today, Sunday school opening. We'll do our best to get started right at 9:20. Which means I cannot read the news and notes to you. All right? We have gotten very, very lazy about this in the past, chief of sinners though we be. So I need you guys to take it upon yourself to actually read the news and notes and determine for yourself what is the most important. We'll have an opportunity to highlight one or two things, but that's it. We cannot do everything here. We do not have time between these two services. You're all invited for coffee and goodies. Bible study today, we're finishing up Ecclesiastes. Next Sunday, we will start, if we finish up the sheet today, we'll start a Bible study on Islam. I'm calling it Islam 101. We're all pretty ignorant, and so that will be starting hopefully next Sunday, be starting very, very soon. Also, Thursday of this week, there will be no Lifelight. We're taking a one-week break. We'll come back a week from this Thursday with the Gospel of Mark. This week, the entire congregation is invited to join us. This will be our last NLCS gathering for a while. We've been doing it for over a decade here. And one of the most highly recognized theologians in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Pastor Mark Serberg, suburb of Chicago, will be here. He'll be here presenting from 10:30 until 2:30 on Thursday. And he'll be talking about the law and how the law is to be received and understood in the life of a Christian. The details are in the news and notes. You're all invited for that. It's not going to get any better than him. So come and hear him if part of the day, all the day, if you can. We've got several little setup things out there. One is for the church picnic. One is for KNNA Radio. If you haven't been listening to 95.7, check it out. Check it out. This morning was amazing. Was outstanding. Great way to prepare for Sunday morning worship. Pass the word. Also, LWML is doing a gathering of things for their upcoming conference or gathering, and lots of things that are needed there. Check that out. Don't trip over the blankets and other non-perishable items. Pastor.
Real quick, on this Christian Education Sunday, we're very glad to introduce you. They haven't been able to make it. Joy Barefoot, our new upper grade teacher.
I stand up.
For today, her husband Tom and family. And we want to welcome them to Good Shepherd. They're getting ready to move to Lincoln. The details are in your bulletin as far as helping out with that. We would be very glad to have as much help as possible, both to help clean the house, get it ready. You see if the date is in the bulletin, and help move in October. So we welcome them to our ministry.
Joy and Tom. Yes. Welcome. Welcome. When we heard that Joy Barefoot was going to be our new teacher, that didn't mean anything to me. But when I met her, I thought, oh, that's Joy Malchow. She used to teach at St. Paul in West Point back in my lay minister days. So, isn't that amazing how the Lord works? Welcome. Details are in the news and notes. Two opportunities to help. Get a chance to meet them and give them a good shepherd welcome. Let's go have goodies and coffee and all that kind of stuff. Sunday school opening, 9:20.